Live from E-Town Hall in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains, it's E-Town with this week's guest from New York City, Garland Jeffries, from Pennsylvania, award winner Kathleen Hauer, and from Rhode Island, partisan recording artist Dear Chick. I'm Helen Forster. Join me now in welcoming our host, if you will, Nick Forster.
Thank you, Helen. Thanks, everybody. Welcome to E-Town. Welcome to E-Town Hall. You found your way here. We are going to get to hear some great songs. We're going to get to meet some characters this week. We're going to hear some good stories. Helen mentioned that Garland Jeffries is here, 74 years old and still loves to rock and roll. He'll be out in a bit. We've got a great award winner story this week, a woman who's keeping medical supplies from being discarded and then making sure they find their way to where they can really do the most good. And what's coming up first? I think the first official Dear Tick record came out a little more than 10 years ago, but the band had been percolating for a while before then. Since that first record, they've released a bunch more, and they've just put out a really potent collection of 20 songs in two volumes called Volume 1 and Volume 2. It was recorded down in Memphis at Arden Studios, home of so many cool records that were made down there. The Staple Singers, Al Green, Isaac Hayes, Freddie King, Led Zeppelin, Leon Russell, ZZ Top, goes on and on. But these guys went down there and they soaked up that vibe and made a couple of really good records. The new records, one is more acoustic, one is more electric, rocks a little harder. Both are filled with really good songs. I'm always amazed when songwriting seems to just come together and flow naturally as it does on these. I know why, because they're good at it. So that's what happened. You will find out more. Originally from Rhode Island, they're now scattered a little bit between Nashville and other parts, more northeasterly. Please welcome to E-Town for their first visit, Dear Tick.
Thanks for having us at E-Town. This first song is called Sea of Clouds. They worked me over, there was nothing they could see. I hid it all behind my eyes. Somewhere in a fog of a million pleasant trees, I kept my secret safe inside. When we were younger and we couldn't help but dream, I couldn't keep you in my life. As we get older now, can you not help but think we've all just settled for a life? Well, hello to your sea of clouds. Tell me, are you ever coming down? Tell me how you never hit the ground. Tell me how you live your life so easily as a pretend before you slipped away one night. It feels like a movie, and long before the end, someone turns on all the lights. So I played the beginning again and again till there was nothing more. Sea of clouds.
Thank you.
Afraid to say that you need a jump start in.
John and Ian from Deer Tick, welcome. You guys sound great.
Glad to be here. Thanks, man.
Congratulations. Thank you very much. Not one, but two new records that sound really good.
Thanks.
Hey, before we go too much farther, I just want to talk a little bit about where you guys come from, because I don't think a lot of our listeners understand the particular corner of the world that is Rhode Island or Providence, Rhode Island. So just the influence, you know, sandwich in there between Connecticut and Massachusetts and in New York, and there you are, just sort of like,
yeah,
island unto yourself, and it isn't like those other places.
It's not, and Rhode Island is a very independent, free-thinking place, and we hate being compared to Massachusetts and Connecticut, especially those two places, because they're our neighbors.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were so tiny. I mean, you could fit half the population in this room, probably.
But it's also kind of a pretty diverse town. Providence is, you know, that's got a lot of different ethnicities. And I don't know whether there's politically how it's organized, but it seems like kind of a rough and tumble place and politically in some ways.
Oh, yeah. It's very, it has a long history of corruption.
Yeah.
We've all seen it firsthand if you've lived there.
Yeah, I mean, my dad was, he was a state rep for many years, and I got a real good look at all that kind of stuff. I've met some characters that have been immortalized in books and on that podcast, Crime Town and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so the mob had its pull. I know your dad did a little time of his own, right?
He did. My dad went to my dad went to prison for a couple of years doing some shady things.
Okay, well, I just think we needed to set the stage a little bit to see where the Deer Tick vibe comes from, because you are kind of irreverent and with a sense of humor and a kind of, you know, commitment to being good, but also you don't want people to take you too seriously, and you also want to...
Yeah, I mean, we want to be good, but we don't want to sweat it too much. Yeah.
We've seen so many peers and so many bands that just look so foolish taking themselves so seriously.
Right.
Going to music festivals and like there's like a dress code for our genre of music or something like that.
Yeah.
So we're trying to avoid that from the beginning, I think.
That's... I get it.
Okay. It's always opposite day in Deer Tick.
Yeah.
I want to ask you guys about... musically, when you're coming up, did you turn each other on to records as you were growing up, or did your friends like say, hey, check this out, or were you just like diving through your parents' record collection? How did you discover the music that inspired you?
The radio was a big thing for me. I mean, the oldies station used to actually play oldies. And that's a big influence for me, all that early Roy Orbison and Little Richard and early Beatles. I was really crazy about that as a kid.
Yeah. How did you discover Hank Williams? Because I heard that was an epiphany for you.
Yeah, that happened in my late teens. Most people up north, you know, you kind of write off country as a whole.
Yeah.
When I got into Hank, yeah, that was a big moment for me. My first concert, I just want to mention, was Los Lobos. And they're a big influence on me.
Oh, man, what a solid influence. You can't have a better one. And, of course, Steve Berlin produced your Negativity record, right?
Yes, it's strange becoming a friend of one of your idols, you know? Because usually you meet somebody that you look up to and they turn out to be a jerk, you know?
I'm glad you never got any of my records before today, because, you know, could have gone either way. Listen, we have lots more music to get to, but I just want to, again, mention that you've got these new records. You cut them down in Memphis. You're out there touring, one more acoustic than the other. I know being from Rhode Island, Newport is kind of like the antithesis of Providence in a way. It's just like, you know, across, it's like a whole nother country.
Yes, yeah.
Well, and you guys, the Newport Folk Festival, of course, is a big event, and you guys have kind of a steady gig doing something there, right? Like an after-hour show.
Oh, yeah, big time. Yeah. I don't know, how many years have we been doing this for?
This year was our seventh.
Seventh year, yeah. We started off doing these after parties in Newport because we weren't asked back to play one year. So I think we were just like, well, we'll just do our own show.
We always take things the hard way.
Yeah. It's always a struggle with us. So we started doing that, and then they started to get pretty successful. So then Jay Sweet at the Newport Folk Festival wanted a hand in it, too. So we've been doing it after every festival for the past 7 years. We usually have friends or idols come up and play with us, like Jackson Browne or Fleece Brothers, you know?
Right. That's one of the kind of the foundations of the Newport Folk Festival is those collaborations starting back in the early 60s where people from Louisiana would meet and play with people that they hadn't met in different styles and that collision, that collaboration. But I like the kind of Providence thing where it's like, oh, they didn't book us. We'll go in, we'll do our own thing. We'll take over, and we'll then...
But now it has become a very legitimate thing now. The money that we raise from these shows, we give it all to Multiple Myeloma Research and to the Newport Festivals Foundation. Wow. So they can keep doing their nonprofit thing for the Folk and Jazz Festival.
That's great when a band can build a community and then you see that there's an opportunity once you have that community to make something cool happen.
Yeah.
There's a song on the new record. It's got that sort of classic, well-crafted song where it's you think it's going somewhere and then it has a twist and it turns around in another direction, and that's called Hope is Big.
Yeah.
Tell me about where that one came from. And
I wrote that song when I was like 18 years old. Mm-hmm. I think that I just had that hook, that is the chorus. And then I kind of just filtered images of some personal and public dystopian feelings.
Right. Which makes it feel so incredibly current right now.
That's the funniest part. We were recording it. We finally recorded the song and like put it on a record. And I had written it being pretty wrapped up, like as a high school student with like the Bush era politics. And then it could only really be released, it seems, during the Trump era. So
yeah. Well, it following the Hope, which was this sort of, you know, synonym for the Obama years, right? So
exactly.
So wild. Anyway, we've got all kinds of great music to listen to. I'm glad you guys are here. Congratulations again on the new records.
Thank you.
Thanks a bunch.
Let's get back to music. Welcome back, if you would, Dear Tick.
One, two, three, two, two. Happy birthday, black sun, my cancerous blood, will you please feed me my tube? So many oceans to swim, but I lost my will to swim. Hope is big, but they're always gonna win. And I felt the cool breeze cross my invalid knees. It reminded me of our kiss in the summer, vicarious like my grandmother's kiss at Christmas. Hope is big, but they're always gonna win. Hope is big. Whoa, hope is so big. Hope is big. Whoa.
That's Dear Tick. John McCauley, Ian O'Neill, Dennis Ryan, Christopher Ryan, Gabe Bernini. The new records are called Dear Tick Volume 1 and Volume 2 out of Partisan Records. They'll be back play some more music later on in the show.
Your visit to E-Town is made possible in part by the Bohemian Foundation, building stronger communities through the Bohemian qualities of creativity and imagination, on the web at bohemianfoundation.org. And by our diverse family of NPR affiliates, community stations, college and commercial stations, as well as our international stations and podcast subscribers worldwide. You're listening to E-Town.
I'm Nick Forster. You're listening to E-Town. Deer Tick's going to be back later on in the show. Thank you, John, for some fabulous rendition of Sleepwalk, Santo and Johnny's classic. We've got more music, as I said, from Deer Tick coming up later on the show. And coming up, the only person we know who met Lou Reed in college, Garland Jeffries, is coming up in just a little while. To play some songs. He's got a great new record too. But before we get back to music, every week we get a chance to introduce you all to someone we met with the help of our listeners. So people tell us stories about folks in their neighborhoods who are helping to make things better in whatever way they find some kind of challenge that they can address, and they do it. And these small steps add up, and these stories are important, especially now. So we recognize these folks with something called the Achievement Award. And then Helen comes out, and she gets to tell us every week exactly who the winner will be.
Ooh.
Here's
Helen.
Thank
you, Nick. Big responsibility. Listener David Lemonick brought our attention to this week's story. Many years ago, while Kathleen Hauer was working as a medical program officer at a nonprofit, she met a surgeon from whom she learned that unused medical supplies like sutures, though perfectly good, are routinely thrown away after surgery in many American hospitals. Doesn't make a lot of sense, but that's what happens. Now, doing some research on her own, Kathleen learned that there was a tremendous amount of surplus medical supplies of all kinds that could be collected and sent to areas that needed them. So she, with co-workers Emily Solomon and Brenda Smith, co-founded a nonprofit that recovers surplus medical materials that often wind up in the landfill. And then they make them available to hospitals around the world. Now, Nick, Kathleen's here with us, so I'm going to let her tell you more. Right now, please join me in welcoming our Achievement Award winner of the week, Kathleen Hauer of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Kathleen, yes. Thank you for joining us.
It's a wonderful pleasure to be
welcome,
here.
Welcome, welcome. So we had another story like this many years ago we covered, and at that time I was amazed to learn that the materials provided for surgery ended up not being used, would be discarded.
Yeah, that happens all the time.
Happens all the time.
Regulations.
It adds up, because regulations, even though they're unopened or they're sealed or whatever,
yep.
And so that's hospitals, and they just have to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of reasons why there's surplus in the system.
Yeah. And so you saw it, and how did you get access to it? Who did you talk to say, hey, all that stuff that you're throwing away, can I have that?
In the beginning, we talked to almost everybody we could talk to in the hospital, and really it was kind of exploratory, like, really, is there this stuff there? And on the floors, you know, the nursing units, the ORs, the right. Emergency rooms, all generate different kinds of stuff.
Yeah. So what kind of stuff did you recover?
Well, in supplies, we really recover everything you can imagine in supplies because we work with hospitals. So the universe of items is enormous in what we can get, like gauze and sutures and surgical instruments and catheters. I mean, and some really expensive things too, because they just can't be put back into the system.
So wild. So you had a challenge first in getting your hands on these things.
Yes.
And then second in thinking about where to send them.
Well, the middle step is how to sort them all.
Right.
Because they come in eaches. So for that, we use an enormous amount of volunteers mm-hmm. that really are the heart of the organization.
Oh, that's cool.
And this year, almost 4,000 volunteers come wow. through our place.
Amazing. So. And so when you store it somewhere, right?
In our headquarters, we yeah. have a huge 58,000 square foot facility.
Whoa, yeah. whoa, wait a minute. We got to get from here to there first. So you, here you are, it's just you going, I need these things.
Oh, yeah. And that was over a 28-year period. To get us where we are now.
Wow. So you recover all this stuff, and you started getting it just by in onesies and twosies, and you
yes.
sorted them, found a way to sort of compartmentalize them, and then you found a way to get them to
right.
a place where they could really make a difference.
Well, early on, we started working with the World Health Organization, mm-hmm. and the arm in this hemisphere is the Pan American Health Organization, and they have representation in every country in the hemisphere, and their whole purpose for existing is to support public health. Mm-hmm. So they were perfect partners for yeah. us.
That's
and
great.
They really had a huge influence on how we work in the public health sector.
Yeah.
We work in specific countries in this mm-hmm. hemisphere for our large-scale programs.
I see.
The countries that are on the lower economic mm-hmm. level, like Nicaragua, Guatemala, Honduras, Haiti, Bolivia, Guyana, mm-hmm. and we have a special relationship and a special love for Cuba.
Yeah.
We've been working in Cuba since 1994. We love the Cuban people. We yeah. love Cuba.
Oh, that's cool. So do you have to wait till you store up a big amount of stuff before you can distribute it? Do you have to get a container load? Or?
Well, in that large facility I mentioned, we have a variety of materials all the time because we also do beds and mattresses
wow.
and clinical furnishings like exam tables and a lot of primary care stuff. So there's stuff moving through the system all the time.
Yeah. And do you get a sense that it's working, that it's helping, it's making
a
difference?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yeah. I mean, in some of the countries that we're working in, you can see the difference in the hospitals. Our first country was Nicaragua, and it was right after the war, and the system was just destroyed. And to see what something so basic as an exam table would do
wow.
for a physician. So we're not only supporting the patients that are eventually going to use it, but all those professionals that don't have the tools that they need
right.
to really support healthcare.
And how frustrating that must be, having the knowledge, have the skills,
exactly.
they've got the need, and they don't have this bunch
exactly.
of material that they that know.
Would, and they have to choose like what yeah. baby might live or what baby
wow.
might die because they have one thing.
Wow. So you mentioned you've got some volunteers, lots of volunteers.
Oh, my God. The volunteers really are the heart and the lifeblood of the organization. We couldn't do what we do without them.
Yeah.
They sort the majority of the materials and prepare the supplies for donation.
And you've grown now to where you have, did you say 3,000 or 4,000 volunteers?
Yeah.
Amazing. And are you sourcing materials now still from one geographic area, or have you broadened that out a little?
Well, we started in the greater Pittsburgh area,
right.
but that has broadened out, and now we work with Johns Hopkins, we work with Thomas Jefferson in Philly, and there's a lot of hospitals in Pennsylvania and
yeah.
in the greater Pittsburgh area. So, and we also provide services in the local community, too.
That's cool. And is it seasonal, or is it going on all year?
Oh, it's a
24-7 wow.
kind of thing.
So
really.
how often do shipments get sent?
Well, we ship year-round. We do about 35 to 40 shipments a year,
wow.
which is a lot.
Almost
because
one a week,
it
yeah.
takes a lot to
yeah.
their custom shipments for the facility that's going to receive them.
Wow. Tell me a little bit about the volunteers, the kinds of people who are helping you.
Oh, my goodness. We have a very big tent mentality when it comes to the people that we want to have involved because we feel like everybody has something to offer,
mm-hmm.
and it's a way for everybody to exercise global citizenship because whether we recognize it or not, we're part of a global community, too.
Right.
So we have volunteers that range in age from 8 years old that come on family days to 80 years old. We have students with special needs, cognitive disabilities, just every kind of facet of the community,
mm-hmm.
corporate volunteers, high schools, colleges. I mean, it's just a really wonderful thing
yeah.
to bring people together like that.
And Kathleen, you've mentioned the growth, you've mentioned the impact, you mentioned that this is really working, it's attracting a lot of people. How do you fund it? If you're getting the stuff for free and you're giving it away for free, where's the revenue come from to keep
well,
it?
Well, the revenue comes from supporters, mm-hmm. individuals, much like any nonprofit.
Right.
We write grant proposals, but really the individuals are like a big source of how we're able to do our work.
Yeah.
and from the countries themselves, too, that support financially the efforts we have.
That's cool. And it's called Global Links is the name of the organization.
That's right.
And when did you start it?
We started in 1989, so we're coming up on the big 3-0.
Wow. Well, that's exciting. And then do you track how much stuff you've actually diverted from the landfill and repurposed?
Yeah, almost 5,000 tons of material. And this is amazing stuff, too.
5,000 tons of not just material, but pretty valuable material.
Yeah, really valuable material. I'd say over $220 million worth of materials.
Wow, that you've been able to distribute.
Yeah.
Amazing. And it was just because you were walking around and you said, wait a minute, this shouldn't be thrown out.
Yeah. Well, and traveling, you see what the needs are in the countries. And everybody benefits by everybody having better health. It's a global good, you know.
Right. Well, listen, is there a website, Global Links?
Globallinks.org.
Globallinks.org, and there's photos and more info if people want to contribute or whatever.
Well, and we would love to invite everybody that's listening to come and visit us and see the amazing stuff we're doing. Come to Pittsburgh because it's an amazing city, and come visit us.
All right. Kathleen, thank you so much. Congratulations. This week's winner, the Achievement Award, Kathleen Hauer. The organization is called Global Links, taking medical supplies and putting them to really good use around the world. Thank you, Kathleen. Congratulations.
Another great Achievement Awards story. If you want to find out how you can support the work of Kathleen and her group and you missed it, you can get the contact information on our website, etown.org. Thanks again to listener David Lemonick for nominating our winner this week. You can nominate someone for the award too. How to do that is explained on our website as well. And you know what else? We also love hearing from our listeners. So if you're so inclined, send us your feedback and comments about this segment or the show in general on Twitter, Facebook, or by email at info@etown.org. Or you can always write us the old-fashioned way at Box 954, Boulder, Colorado, 80306.
Thank you, Helen. Thanks, Kathleen. Global Links.org. We've got more music from Deer Tick coming up in just a little while. Right now, I'm going to tell you about what's coming up next. Garland Jeffries was born and raised in New York City, half Puerto Rican, half African American, lived in Brooklyn with two working parents. His dad encouraged him to go to Syracuse University, where he not only did well, but met his lifelong buddy, Lou Reed, well before the Velvet Underground got started. He came back to New York City, started playing folk clubs, hanging around the scene, writing songs. He played guitar and sang and contributed an original song to John Cale's 1969 release, Vintage Violence. He started his own band called Grinder Switch, put out a record, I think it was on Vanguard in 1970. And then a solo record came out on Atlantic, followed then by, I think, 12 more records. The cover of his song, Wild in the Streets by the Circle Jerks, became a skateboarder's anthem. You never know what's going to happen to these things when you make them and you send them out in the world. Anyway, then around 2001, he came back recording, touring, played on Letterman, played with Springsteen, and so on. He's now got a new record out called 14 Steps to Harlem, and he's here to show us how rock and roll finds a home in every style of music. Please welcome for his first visit to E-Town, Mr. Garland Jeffries.
Yeah. A hand for the band, please.
Garland Jeffries, welcome to E-Town. Good to hear you, man. Good to have you here.
So sweet to be here.
Yeah.
Really.
So your latest record, 14 Steps to Harlem, it's kind of about your childhood. Tell us about what it was like when you were a kid. I know your dad worked in Harlem. Your mother worked at the sugar factory.
Yeah, Domino's.
Yeah.
It was rough, you know. He was a very tough dad. It was a painful situation, something I don't really talk about that much. But recently, I just decided to talk more about it, you know.
Right. Were you singing when you were a kid?
When I started listening.
To doo-wop groups and stuff? And
yeah, well, Frankie Lyman was my idol.
Frankie Lyman,
yeah.
And the Teenagers.
Frankie Lyman, I'm not a know-it-all.
Yeah.
Don't know why the teardrops fall. Don't know what's beyond the blue. I only know that I love you. Stuff like that.
Yeah. Frankie Lyman was also a bit of a cautionary tale because he got addicted to heroin when he was 15.
That's right.
And he died at 25.
That's right.
But man, oh man, could he sing.
Amazing voice.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I wanted to be him.
Yeah.
You know, he was my model, you know, from that point of view.
Was he your age, more or less?
Well, no, he wasn't. I was younger.
Yeah.
when he came on the scene.
Yeah.
You know, when I got older,
right.
I wanted to be like him.
Yeah.
I thought I looked like him, and I wanted to be like
yeah.
him.
Well, it's cool. And then your dad, despite whatever else he may have done, one thing that he did that I think you probably appreciate is that he was not fooling around when he said, by the way, you're going to go to Syracuse University.
Yeah. That was a surprise.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you about, you go to college, you meet Lou Reed, you guys become friends, you come back into New York, you start getting your scene together. Suddenly you're hanging out in that crowd, you're playing with John Cale.
Yeah.
You put together a band from a bunch of guys from up in Woodstock, Grinders Switch.
Right, Stan Zaleste, the great Stan Zaleste yeah. on piano, one of the most amazing piano players.
Yeah.
And then I found out the link between Stan Zaleste and Robbie Robinson.
Robbie Robinson, the band.
The band, yes.
Oh, that's cool. I want to touch briefly on your new record. You got a song about dreamers.
Yeah.
And I know that the issues that you've been dealing with, you know, ever since your reference to the phrase buckwheat, that, you know,
yeah.
your mother's Puerto Rican, your father's, you know, black from Harlem, painful,
yeah.
painful stories of your own experience dealing with racism, dealing with short-sightedness, blindness in a way.
I've had some damage in that world, you know. Called names, every black person gets that.
Yeah. But your song about dreamers is particularly about, you know, everybody should have a dream.
Yes.
And you should be entitled to have that dream.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that kind of fits into that whole, the dreamers.
Right.
You know, and...
Yeah.
And that's my story, you know, and say...
When you're still at it and you're still dreaming.
Yeah, I'm still dreaming.
Yeah.
I want to see the world change. It's moving. It's not fast enough.
Moving slow, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you've got a bunch of great friends. You've had an incredible range of connections and stories. You've played music and met and hung out with so many amazing people. And we appreciate you coming by and stopping by here.
Yeah.
So let's get back to music. If you would, please help me welcome back to the stage one of New York City's proudest citizens, Mr. Garland Jeffries.
Thank you.
In the heat of the summer, better call up the plumber. Turn on the street pump to cool me off. Your newspaper writers, big crime fighters, still need a drugstore to cure my. City streets, wild up in Harlem, wild in New Jersey, wild in the streets, gang, with a gang called Shady.
Garland Jeffries from New York City. The latest is called 14 Steps to Harlem out on Luna Park Records. Along with Justin Jordan on guitar, Nicholas Biello on keys and sax, along with E-Tones, Chris Engelman, Ron Jolly, Dean Oldicott sitting in on the drums, and Helen Forster singing harmony. Garland Jeffries. I'll be back at the very end of the show.
Your visit to E-Town is made possible by Silk, the charter sponsor of Change the Course. The program was co-created with National Geographic to restore water in critically water-stressed ecosystems. You can learn more about Silk's commitment to the environment and to plant-based nutrition at silk.com. And one more thing. We want to hear from you. We'd love to hear what you think of the show in general. If you have a moment, you can take our very short survey on our website, etown.org, and help us keep the show at its very best. Thanks. You're listening to E-Town.
Forster, I'd like to say hello to our listeners. Thank you, JJ. A little tribute to Stevie Ray. I'd like to say hello to our listeners who are hearing E-Town on stations like KCHO in Chico, California. Thanks for tuning in on WDST in Woodstock, New York, and on KDRP, KDRIP Sun Radio in Austin, Texas, and Dripping Springs, Texas. Thank you for listening. As always, if you want more information about our guests this week, you want to see what everybody looks like, you want to see the videos, you can do that online at etown.org. And of course, you can also find out about how to get tickets to live shows and much more. Once again, we are just trying to find the common ground, right? Find music and people looking around and seeing if they can make things better. And it's all a step in the right direction. Would you please help me welcome back to the stage right now, Dear Tick.
We'd love to play a song by another East Coaster by the name of Ben Vaughn. It's called I'm Sorry, But So Is Brenda Lee. When you're young, you do what you think you're supposed to. We'll be right back.
That's Deer Tick. From Rhode Island originally, John McCauley, Ian O'Neill, Dennis Ryan, Chris Ryan, Gabe Bernini. Volumes 1 and 2 are out now. Deer Tick. Man, we've got time for one more song. I want to get everybody out on stage. I want to thank all our guests this week at E-Town. Thanks to Garland Jeffries for coming out from New York City, along with his band. Thanks to our award winner, Kathleen Hauer, bringing much-needed medical supplies that would have gone to waste and finding ways to make them really count, make a big difference. Thanks to our house band. Thanks to Helen Forster. Thanks to Deer Tick. Thanks to our volunteers, our engineers. We continue to lose American musical icons as time passes, and we're going to recognize one of those right now. This is a Fats Domino tune. I'm Nick Forster. Hope you can be with us next week right here in E-Town.
1, 2, 3. Well, you made me cry when you said goodbye. Ain't had a shame. Oh, my tears fell like rain. Ain't had a shame. You're the one to blame.
You broke my heart. Well, ain't your part.
Ain't had a shame. Oh, my tears fell like rain.
Produced by a donor-supported nonprofit organization with help from all of our fine staff. The show was recorded live this week at E-Town Hall. To send us your comments about E-Town, or make an Achievement Award nomination, or to find out how to get tickets to a live taping, you can send an email to info@etown.org, or you can visit our website at etown.org, or connect with us on our 2 Facebook pages or Twitter.
Said goodbye. Ain't that a shame? My tears fell like rain. Oh, ain't that a shame? And you're the one to blame.
The national distribution of E-Town is made possible by the support of E-Town's family of sponsors, this station, and listeners like you.
Jeffries, Deer Tick, all of you guys. Thanks so much, everybody. We'll see you next time.
This is a production of the E-Town Radio Network.